Chapter 6. First Day at School. On Monday morning, with Aunt Baba still in Tianjin, a maid helped me put on my brand new school uniform. It was a little too long, stiff with starch, white in color, and had the name of my new school, Sacred Heart, Shengxing, in bright red Chinese characters embroidered on the left breast pocket. After breakfast, I stood in the hallway for what seemed like a very long time, waiting for someone to take me to school, wondering who it was going to be. I was excited to be starting first grade in my new primary school, which was located next door to Big Sister's Aurora Middle School. Big Sister, however, was still in bed. Her classes were scheduled to begin 1 hour later than mine. The chauffeur had already left to drive my brothers to St. John's Academy, which was in the opposite direction. I saw Cook wheeling his bicycle through the hallway to go to market. Now he spotted me watching him. "Who is taking you to school?" he asked. "I don't know." I was nervous and couldn't help shooting a wistful glance at the big clock ticking away on the wall. It was getting late, and everyone had forgotten about me. What should I do? I was becoming panic-stricken and felt tears rolling down my cheeks. Cook shrugged. "It's certainly not my job. No one mentioned anything to me about you." He was about to mount his bike and ride away when he noticed my tears. "Now, now, don't cry. Being late for school isn't the end of the world." "Oh, all right. Come along then," he mumbled gruffly as he lifted me onto the handlebar of his bicycle. "Your Shengxing Primary School happens to be right next to the market. Sit here quietly and don't squirm. We'll be there in no time at all." After school was let out in the early afternoon, I waited with all the other first graders by the school gate. One by one, they were greeted and led away by their anxiously hovering mothers. Eventually, I was the only one left. Nobody had come for me. The metal gate slowly clanged shut behind me as I watched my classmates disperse, each clutching her mother's hand and eagerly recounting the adventures of her first day at school. After a long time, I peered through a crack into the deserted playground. Not a person was in sight. Cautiously, I pushed against the massive iron gate. It was firmly locked. Trembling with fear, I realized that nobody was coming to pick me up. Too embarrassed to knock or draw attention to myself, I walked out tentatively into the Shanghai streets. Surely, if I tried hard enough, I would remember the way home. It was a beautiful sunny afternoon. At first, I wandered along a wide, straight road lined with tall, leafy trees. Motorcars, trams, rickshaws, pedicabs, and bicycles whizzed by. I kept walking, but dared not cross the road, glancing briefly at the open-fronted stores overhung with colorful, upright, bilingual signboards. I turned a corner, and now the pavement seethed with people in noise and commotion. Coolies shouldering heavy loads on bamboo poles, hawkers selling toys, crickets in cages, fans, cold tea, candies, meat-filled buns, spring rolls, tea eggs, and fermented bean curd. Stalls and booths offering services such as haircuts, shaves, dental care, letter writing, extraction of earwax. Beggars banging tin cups and chanting for a handout. Except for me, everyone was striding along purposefully, going somewhere. Everyone had a destination. I must have walked for miles and miles. But where was I? Should I enter a shop and ask for directions? But I didn't know my home address. What should I say? Should I approach that kindly old storekeeper smiling at me from the doorway of his antique shop and tell him, "Please, sir, I want to go home." But where was my home? It was getting dark. Bright neon signs in blue, yellow, red, and orange came on and were blinking at me. Had anyone at home missed me? Did they think I was still at school? Were they looking for me? What should I do? I walked past a bustling, brightly lit dim sum shop. Such a wonderful aroma was wafting through the door. Through the plate glass window, I saw roast ducks, soy sauce chickens, and hunks of glistening roast pork hanging from hooks. There was a young chef wielding his cleaver and deftly chopping a duck into bite-sized pieces on a wooden block. Wouldn't it be heavenly to be given a slice of meat? But that might be too much to hope for. I would be quite content with a piece of bone to chew on. As I salivated, I imagined the taste of the food sliding down my throat. Breakfast seemed such a long time ago. Someone was touching my shoulder. I started and looked up. A large, red-faced woman whom I had just seen bustling around the tables in the restaurant was speaking to me. "You have been standing here for almost half an hour. What's your mother doing that she would leave you waiting out here all by yourself? Doesn't she know it's dangerous for a little girl your age to be hanging around on a street like this? Are you supposed to have dinner with her here?" Terrified, I lowered my head and shuffled my feet. "Come and wait for her inside," she commanded as she glanced at my brand new school uniform. "My daughter started school today, too." Inside, it was hot and noisy. I stood hesitantly by the door. Suddenly, I noticed a black telephone next to the cash register. Why, just yesterday, Big Brother and I were playing, and he taught me a new numbers game he had just invented. "Take any number and add, subtract, multiply, or divide it. The one who first comes up with a number 13 wins." "What number should we use, Big Brother?" I had asked. "Run downstairs and get our telephone number," he'd said. "It's marked on the front of the telephone in the stairway." I'd rushed down for the number, and we'd played with it all afternoon, backwards and forwards, breaking it down and building it up again. 79281. That was it. 79281. Finally, Big Brother had won. He'd broken 79281 into 9, 8, 21, and 7. 9 minus 8 equals 1. 21 divided by 7 equals 3. He'd then placed the number 3 to the right of the number 1 and got 13, thereby winning the game. I had clapped my hands in glee and admiration. I felt honored that Big Brother had deigned to play with me all afternoon. No one was looking when I picked up the phone and dialed. Father answered on the third ring. "Speak up," Father was shouting. "There is so much background noise. Who is it?" "It's your daughter, fifth daughter, Wu Mei." "Where are you?" Father asked in an even voice, quite calmly. And suddenly, with a pang, I realized that nobody had missed me. They didn't even know I wasn't home. "I'm in a restaurant. I got lost when I tried to walk home from school. Let me speak to the proprietor. You stay right there, and I'll come and pick you up." Soon afterwards, Father arrived and drove me home in his big black Buick. Traffic was light, and he drove in silence. When we arrived, he patted me on my head. "Next time you go anywhere for the first time," he admonished as he handed me a map of Shanghai from the glove compartment of his car. "Read this map and find where you are and where you wish to go. This way, you'll never get lost again." "That's exactly what I'll do," I thought to myself. After dinner, I'm going to ask Big Brother to teach me how to read this map. With Aunt Baba still in Tianjin, there's obviously nobody looking out for me. I'll just have to find my own way.